You may begin.
Good morning, everyone. I hereby call this meeting of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees to order. Our first business is approval of the proposed agenda. Could I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Support.
Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Next business, approval of the minutes. Is there a motion to approve the April 16, 2021 meeting minutes?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstention? The motion carries. We will now move to public participation, moderated by Board Secretary Nakia Barr.
We will now proceed to the public participation portion of the meeting. Each individual who has signed up to speak will have 3 minutes to address the board. Your time will end when the buzzer sounds. Any responses from board members will come during the trustee comment portion of the meeting. We will now hear from Chris Brimmer, followed by Marilyn Corson Whitney. Please activate the first speaker. Please unmute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Thank you. Honorable, thank you for the opportunity to speak about some compelling reasons to maintain the swimming and diving program. As an alum of our program, I'm still very proud and deeply grateful for the experience. Not only did my swimming career peak during my time at MSU, winning several medals at world championships, but more importantly, it transformed me as an individual, making me a leader who stands up for the right values and the team, exemplified, for instance, by being the team captain for the German Olympic swimming team in Atlanta or the athlete's representative for the National Anti-Doping Agency. I don't know your exact criteria that led to the decision, but of course I understand elements like financial reality or performance. In the end, you have to make choices. But what I look at as the guiding principle are our mission and values, providing an outstanding education. And I assume that is meant in the holistic sense of forming young individuals into leaders that contribute to society, make a positive difference, and ultimately improve the world. And then, when I look at our program through this lens, I see young adults who, in addition to a highly demanding sport, balance their academic performance and commit to a team with everything they have and turn out to be successful leaders in the real world many years down the road. Aren't these the leaders and role models we're looking for? With all respect, I challenge you to find comparable role models as consistently in any other group. Not everybody can and will be an Olympic champion or win academic awards, but is that the only thing that counts? I've seen walk-ons on the team who worked just as hard and made all the sacrifices for the team without ever getting any fame. And this is what I see as our strength. We enable world-class performance in all areas without excluding those who've been less favored by talent or circumstances. This is what inspired me as an individual. This is the gift I'm forever grateful for. Experiencing true teamwork and commitment, dedication and drive, perseverance, also when the odds are against you, always aiming for the best under the given circumstances. And isn't this exactly what we're trying to teach our students? It is these personality traits and values that we're looking for as employers, parents, and citizens. But it's so hard to teach in the classroom because they're all formed through experience and having the right role models to look up to. So I humbly ask you to please reconsider your perspective. And if there are any specific elements where my personal contribution can help, please assume it as given. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Marilyn Corson Whitney, followed by Jorge Gonzalez. Please activate the next speaker. Please unmute. Marilyn Whitney, please unmute.
I did. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. You may begin.
Good morning. This is Dr. Marilyn Corson Whitney. Thank you for allowing me to speak with you this morning. While I learned the skills to be an interior designer at MSU, it was in the pool where I learned to live a fulfilled life. In 1969, I arrived at MSU with the bronze medal from the Mexico City Olympics in the freestyle relay for Canada. Before MSU women even had a swimming team, I won a national championship and 9 Big Ten championships. To get enough pool time in 71 and 2, I swam with the men's team in the morning and the women's club in the afternoon. I made the Munich Olympic team for Canada and was 12th in the 100 butterfly and 7th in the medley relay. But these events are only transitory. What we take with us in later lives as swimmers are the following skills and so much more. Persistence. After a 15-year battle, I led our professional organization in a successful effort to define interior design in Michigan law. This legislation protected our profession from being usurped by architects. Perseverance. I used every ounce of my being to write and defend my dissertation. I passed, but my committee asked me to rewrite my 15 conclusions. While working full-time, I wrote another 6 months and received my PhD at the age of 58. Independence. Life involves making choices about where to focus your time and energy. Swimming 4 hours a day made me structure my life at MSU. This has allowed me to flourish in the complexities of owning my own business, teaching part-time, and volunteering for my profession. Swimming at MSU taught me that. Acceptance of myself with all of my shortcomings. To persevere to a second Olympic Games at the old age of 22, in a time when most athletes only competed in one Olympics, was difficult. While being number one is transitory, excelling at what you do is a gift beyond measure. I'm sure you've heard many stories here about swimmers and divers flourishing in their lives. This is not an accident. The perseverance, structure, and independence that swimming for MSU gave us set our paths into fulfilled lives. Please help us find solutions to preserve MSU's swimming and diving program, so that future students will benefit from these life skills. They will need them to negotiate the ever-changing global environment. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Jorge Gonzalez, followed by Sydney Appleboom. Please activate the next speaker. Please unmute.
I just begin. This is Jorge Gonzalez. Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Yes, my name is Jorge Gonzalez. I swam at Michigan State from 1967 to 1971 and swam in the Olympics for Puerto Rico in 1968 in Mexico City. I was born in Havana, Cuba. I came to the United States at age 11. No parents, $5 in my pocket, and one suitcase. I lived with my uncle in a 3-bedroom house with 17 people, 11 cousins sleeping in the living room, 6 adults sleeping in the bedrooms. When my parents eventually got out, my father spoke no English, so we moved to San Juan, Puerto Rico. Eventually, I parlayed my education at Michigan State to become an international banker. And after that, I became a portfolio manager in the corporate investment bank at a bank and ran a $6 billion book of business with various lenders that worked for me. After that, I left and became the CFO of a multi-billion dollar company. I'm speaking about this so that you can appreciate the success that I've had and the benefits that the education and swimming at Michigan State gave me. Coach McCaffrey and Dick Fetters extended to me a tremendous opportunity, which is greatly appreciated. Had it not been for them, I would have probably not gone to college, and I'd be digging ditches in Puerto Rico someplace. My parents could not afford a college education. Walter Adams gave me an education in economics that gave me a career, and I parlayed that later in life to the point that I don't know many people that have, but I won an argument, or actually a discussion, with the IMF and got an apology from the IMF. Jim Furyk kept me healthy. Long story there, but he did a great deal for me. I appreciate the magnitude of this opportunity, and I hope to share it with you so that you can understand it. On the subject of swimming at diving in Michigan State, I will admit to being confused. The swimming program contributed $1.2 million, you can tell numbers I've been dealing with, to the coffers of the university, yet we're going to close it for cost reasons. I'm a financial person, and I have a difficult time understanding that logic. Please consider that in depth and the impact that this program has had on people like myself and others. As an aside, note that I have struggled in participating in this effort. I have divorced myself from the university as a result of the Larry Nassar situation and how poorly it was handled afterwards. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Sydney Appleboom, followed by Selman Akbalit. Please activate the next speaker.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Good morning. I'm Sydney Appleboom. I was captain of the Miskatene swimming diving team in 1989, was a two-time All-American and Olympian, all thanks to Michigan State diving and swimming and diving program. Afterwards, I went back home, started my businesses, coached some swimming, and had the opportunity to be at 8th Olympics since 1988. And I will be present in Tokyo as an athlete, as a coach, and as a commentator. I've been commentating every race Michael Phelps ever swam. Maybe some of you have seen US trials going on in Omaha this week. And then you see that swimmers from U of M, Ohio State University, qualified in the individual events. Swimmer from Indiana and Purdue also made the Olympics. The Olympics is the number two sport at the Olympics, and it's worthwhile a lot. Swimmers do not only give you 4 hard years, they don't go at one and done. They don't go pro their junior year. No, they stick with the program and they work 3-4 hours a day hard. Besides that, they're very strong in the classroom. The last generations have shown how good they are. Their GPA is amazing. And that's, as the other speaker said already, makes leaders in the community. If I look back at the team where I was captain of, we have professors, doctors, captains of industries, and very successful business owners. And then I come to the point that is kind of wary, that the decision has been made to cancel the program without any reach out to the alumni. As seen, alumni as successful as Gorgate, just in front of me, ahead of me, said he's been successful. There are many successful people around the swimming program. So please, I ask you, please consider reaching out to the alumni, see what's wrong, solve the solution, maybe financial, maybe recruiting wise. It's not because the football team has not had a player drafted this year in the NFL that if that happens 3 or 4 years straight, that we should abolish the football team. No, we look at solutions. We look at the problems that are rising and then see what we can help. In my business, and I treat with bankruptcies and companies in distress, that's how you handle problems. So please, I urge everybody to look at solutions and other problems. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Selman Akbalit, followed by Alyssa Gorsling. Please activate the next speaker. Please unmute.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
As a professor who served in Michigan State University for 40 years and as a Spartan, let me remind you MSU's ethics rules. There are three basic rules we all adhere in MSU. Number one, never lie, never cheat. Number two, never slander. Number three, never abuse or victimize people. This has been the rules that we have been abiding all the times I have been here for the years. As you know, recently there were some breaches of these rules. If you violate any of these principles, only way to correcting it is by admitting and repairing it, not by mediating it. MSU is a university, not a business, not a traffic court, not a divorce court. So university have to act like a university because you make these rules. So you also, as administrators, you should also abide by these rules. In my case, in two occasions, you seriously victimized me by violating these principles. Then you fired me. Occasion number one, I filed a complaint about MedChair. You sent me to MSU court. In the court, MedChair admitted lying and misrepresenting my academic records in order to penalize me. He lied without compunction. He admitted he lied under oath, yet there were no consequences. Occasion number two, President Stanley, you with Provost Sullivan violated my reputation on Board of Trustee meeting, then fired me with the claim that I attacked MSU administration with emails. Of course, right after that, we immediately appealing by Freedom of Information Act, we collected all my emails. There is no such attack on those emails. In fact, these emails are good examples of how any faculty should report corruption in their unit. President Stanley, you and board represent MSU. MSU's integrity is on your shoulders. Please correct these mistakes and breaches. I'm remaining of my time. I'm waiting for your replies. I've been asking this for several meetings, Board of Trustee meetings. I think it's about time to address these things. I'm waiting.
Thank you. That concludes your remarks. We will now move to the next speaker. Next, we will hear from Elena Emery. Alyssa Gorsling is not present. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Hello, I'd like to begin by addressing trustees Brianna Scott, Joel Fugerson's shameful and frankly despicable behavior in regards to the particulars of the Muskegon deal and why they chose to obstruct an investigation to look into the truth. Most surprising, however, is how Brianna Scott, somebody who ran on reform and progressive ideas, can turn her backs on survivors. I am disgusted by her complete disregard for the pain and trauma survivors have undergone. Truly, Brianna Scott's actions are indicative of an individual with absolutely no moral compass or ethics. I cannot understand what despicable motive one would have to sell out survivors of abuse. Trustee Scott has literally chosen to obstruct an independent investigation to line her own pockets and make a quick buck. Brianna Scott sold her vote to the highest bidder and turned her back on survivors. Instead of dedicating her time to ensuring our survivors are able to heal and the abuse of scandal at Michigan State never happens again, she chose to betray the MSU community for a real estate bid. I am so ashamed. Brianna Scott, you have failed every student on this campus. To this board, you have all failed us. It is your job to police one another, to protect the interests of students, and most importantly, reveal the truth and hold one another accountable. You have failed to do so. And yet, I am speaking today to try and gain more clarity on the Muskegon deal, which Brianna Scott and Joel Fugerson engaged in. There have been many anonymous complaints filed that have sought to address the impropriety of the actions of these board members. My question is, has the board been notified of any investigation or complaints? Marilyn Terry, have you received complaints? Have you escalated them to the Board of Trustees? Because I know for a fact several complaints have been filed. This whole scandal speaks of a cover-up. Since the Board of Trustees is not waiving privilege, Brianna Scott's obstruction of this investigation has taken on an even deeper meaning. Tell me, has the Muskegon Project even been completed? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Erica Thibodeau, followed by Nicholas DeFall. Please activate the next speaker.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Hello, I am addressing this board today because the lack of leadership and transparency from this board is truly despicable. You'd think that with the onslaught of the Nassar sexual abuse scandal, this board would be motivated to do everything in their power to support survivors and to help reform Michigan State University so that nothing like this ever happens again. Right? No, apparently not. Apparently, the only thing members of this board seem to be interested in is how to protect their own interests and their financial assets. It has become increasingly evident that there was a concerted effort to undermine all healing and retribution for survivors. This is a scandal on par with the initial abuse. I can already see the headlines. MSU Board of Trustees complicit in the suppression of survivor healing efforts. Or better yet, MSU Board of Trustees obstructs independent investigation. Or how about even a personal favorite? Corruption, scandal, and cover-up. How Scott and Ferguson sold their votes to line their pockets. I could go on and on. There is so much content here to choose from. So much corruption. We have Brianna Scott, a trustee whose very election platform was based on reform, selling out survivors and obstructing the independent investigation for her own personal gain with the Muskegon deal, to her leadership managing the healing fund, which is truly just a complete and utter disaster, with so many survivors unable to file their claim or access their just compensation. If I didn't know any better, I'd say Trustee Scott is intent on using her role on this board as a personal playground for her own financial gain. I mean, why else would someone obstruct an independent investigation and sell their vote for some prime real estate? She has abused her power and privileges and has consistently and concertedly undermined any and all efforts to protect survivors of Larry Nassar's sexual assault. The best part about this whole situation, though, is how so much corruption has managed to go unchecked by this board. I am aware of several anonymous complaints which have been filed to air grievances and gain clarity on the particulars of the Muskegon deal. Has this body been notified of any of these complaints and investigation? Has the chief compliance officer bumped up the concerns of Spartans and told them to this board? I am deeply concerned because there have been multiple complaints filed. I know that for a fact. And I do not put it past anyone on this board to obstruct yet another investigation. So I'd like my answers to be, and my questions to be answered. Thank you.
Next, we will hear from Nicholas DeFall, followed by Michael Green. Please activate the next speaker.
Hi, my name is Nicholas Paul, and I just wanted to kind of reach out and talk to a bunch of you as well. I can see on your faces that a lot of you have gone through a lot of this before, but I know I've written to many of you in regards to various aspects regarding Michigan State University, especially the elimination of swimming and diving programs. I unfortunately have received very little response regarding those emails, which is fairly disheartening to say the least. Now, I'm not here to really harp on that all that much. I'm here to discuss some pertinent topics that this board will be making decisions regarding in the near future. The biggest decision I see is in regards to the development and building of a recreation center on MSU's campus. And to be honest, to put it plainly, the recreation facilities at Michigan State are pathetic, and they have been for decades now. Yes, they have spent a lot of money to provide facelifts to already dilapidated facilities. But that doesn't change the fact that we rank in the lower tier of almost any college in the state of Michigan, let alone the Big Ten or other Power Five conferences, especially in regards to their rec facilities. I know from my time when I was swimming at Michigan State that there are many MAC schools and even some high schools with better facilities than Michigan State, and that is terrible. Now, I also want to kind of point out that Michigan State currently has the PR problem as well. And I can see that with other people addressing the board today and all your faces just glazed over with all of this. With the Nassar scandal, there's a public perception of lack of transparency. Whether there is or not, there is a public perception of this, and MSU has not really done well to improve that image. An investment into a new rec facility that benefits the students, faculty, and community will allow Michigan State to redirect the narrative to one that demonstrates that MSU cares and is committed to the mental and physical well-being of all Michigan State students, faculty, and the surrounding community. As a sports medicine doctor, I know firsthand the benefits of exercise on physical and mental well-being. Additionally, I absolutely implore that you do not cut corners in regarding to building it. Watch the swimming and diving Olympic trials. If built correctly, Michigan State could be hosting events such as that. And if you think that only goes to big places, it's in Omaha, Nebraska. What else is there? Michigan State could easily do something like that. Imagine the alumni pride, as well as the amazing positive outlook the entire country would have seeing Michigan State in that light. Additionally, hosting NCAAs, Big Tens, MHSAA competitions, and premier United States swimming events in the summer would provide additional revenue generators for 150-year-old programs that could be saved by building this rec center if done correctly. MSU talks about a Spartan will. There is a will to build this rec center and save the swim and diving teams, and there are some minimal viable ways to save swimming and diving. We were taught there is a will, there's a way. If you try to call yourself a Spartan, show us. Be the Spartan hero that you claim you are. Be bold, do the right thing. Make us alumni proud.
Thank you. Next, we will hear from Michael Green. Please activate the next speaker. Please unmute.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, you may begin.
Good morning, all. As you know, this is Olympic year. It's not an even-numbered year. It's an odd-near year, but it's still Olympic year. Up to half of the U.S. population watched the Olympic Games, and one of the top three viewed sports is swimming. What happens during the Olympic Games when families are watching? Kids start to dream. Someone wants to become an Olympian. In 1988, three Spartans realized their dream. Sid's on the call, myself, Kevin Miller. From hockey, we all became Olympians. Currently, as just referred, in Omaha, Nebraska right now is the U.S. Olympic trials for swimming. There are five Michigan State swimmers there at the trials, and they were realizing their dreams. They might not make the Olympic Games, but they are building towards that dream. Since I left Michigan State in the 80s, Michigan State has invested in other sports. They've built new stadiums, fields, courts, to improve their competitiveness. Yet the swim team still swims in the pool built in the 1950s. With the proposed building of a new facility, a new pool, as mentioned just prior, if done well, this could be a revenue stream, bringing competition to Michigan State, whether it's a state high school championships, whether it's NCAAs, whether it's regional swim meets. Heck, it could be the Olympic trials. The one in Omaha, I believe, is built for the event. It's not a continual facility. As mentioned prior by some of the others, you know, I have a group of friends, 13 on a text thread. There's professors, college professors, doctors, lawyers, financial leaders, business owners, business leaders on this text thread. They're all my alumni that I swam with, Michigan State swimming alumni. We're all leaders in the community, and we learn that through hard work as swimmers. We built a group of friends, comrades, through leadership, hard work. We are Spartans. And I ask you, please contemplate reinstating the swim team. It will be good long-term, maybe create more Olympians in the future, allow others to live their dreams. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes public participation.
So that will now go to my report, and I want to begin by thanking all those who took the time to speak today. I want to start with an acknowledgement of the passing of an alumnus and exceptional friend of Michigan State University, Eli Broad, back on April 30th. I had the opportunity to pay tribute to Mr. Broad in front of the Broad College of Business students at their graduation ceremony the day after his death, and to speak to his outsized impact in other settings. And I think it is important to do it again today. Mr. Broad was someone whose genius and philanthropy touched so many lives in so many ways, from cutting-edge science at the Broad Institute to contemporary art here and in Los Angeles to one of the world's best business schools and so many other places. Eli's relentless commitment to achieving and supporting excellence was transformational. He will be missed. This week, we were pleased to announce a partnership with the Gilbert Family Foundation and the Rock Family of Companies for support of the new Developer Academy in Detroit, Michigan, that Michigan State is planning with Apple. We all share a vision to empower diverse entrepreneurs, creators, and coders by developing skills for technology careers for today and tomorrow. The Apple Developer Academy will open this fall downtown on the second floor of Bedrock 660 Woodward Avenue space, known as the historic First National Building in the heart of downtown Detroit. We expect the Academy to impact close to 1,000 students a year. Here on campus last week, we hosted U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack, U.S. Senator Debbie Stabenow, and U.S. Representative Alyssa Slotkin. They held a roundtable discussion with Michigan foresters and farmers that focused on the impacts of climate change. And I joined them on a tour of our exciting new undergraduate STEM teaching and learning facility, which will open fall semester. This is a remarkable building, one that showcases sustainability as it hosts the latest developments and innovations in teaching and learning. I can't wait to see it in action. Late last month, I finally had the opportunity to tour Michigan State University's extraordinary operations in Flint, a pioneering project that epitomizes many of Michigan State University's strengths, particularly how we partner with communities to work with them to solve critical problems. I was hosted by College of Human Medicine Dean Aaron Sousa and staff from the College Division of Public Health. I want to thank Dr. Deborah Verholden, Dr. Mona Hanna Atisha, and others who presented and joined our very productive conversations. Another highlight was my meeting with Dr. Jennifer Edward Johnson and some of our medical students. And I had a very informative discussion with our partners at the C.S. Mott Foundation and with Flint area elected officials, and enjoyed the opportunity to meet MSU Extension staff there and tour the Flint Farmers Market. It was a great visit with some of the amazing people that are working with and for the people of Flint to help improve the quality of life for all members of the Flint community. I think every Spartan can be proud of this groundbreaking program. I now want to talk about several of our agenda items. Michigan State University is committed to delivering an exceptional undergraduate campus experience and a world-class education for all students. This experience is underpinned by our talented faculty and staff members and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, such as the new STEM building. We very much recognize the need to continue enhancing the student experience and supporting our excellent faculty and a great learning environment while remaining affordable. So let me talk for a minute about how we keep an MSU education affordable, specifically Michigan State University's commitment to financial aid. The budget we are proposing to the board today once again includes an increase in regular financial aid of $3.8 million this year. That is on top of several years of financial aid increases, even as we exercise restraint on tuition. In fact, we haven't raised tuition in nearly 4 years, but our general fund financial aid has increased 18% or $27 million. And this is important because of over two-thirds of our students receive some form of financial support, including loans. In addition, we have distributed $30 million in emergency federal aid to help students through the pandemic over the last two academic years. And next year, importantly, our students will be eligible for an additional round of COVID-19 Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds, referred to as HERF. We're proud of the successes our commitment to affordability and excellence has produced, including steadily rising graduation rates and narrowing gaps in those rates among student groups. And importantly, we've continued to work to be diligent financial stewards even during the pandemic. Now, After nearly 4 years without a tuition increase for first-year students, we are asking the board to adjust MSU's tuition rates upward for the 2021-2022 academic year by 2%. That would equal $290 a year for incoming resident first-year students. The board and administration are very cognizant of the financial stresses students and families have experienced through the COVID-19 pandemic. And I appreciate the thoughtfulness of our board members over the last few months while we've discussed many budget implications, alternatives, and scenarios. This tuition plan, part of a three-year budget, helps us give the university the support it needs and offers Michigan State University, our students and families, a greater degree of certainty about future costs. Importantly, through a combination of financial aid sources and the distribution of emergency grants to students included in federal COVID-19 legislation, families with an annual income of less than $100,000 will not be impacted by this increase in 21-22. This is important. Again, families with an annual income of less than $100,000 will not be impacted by this increase in 2021-22. Spartan Advantage program participants with family income below federal poverty guidelines will see no out-of-pocket increases and will continue to receive financial aid equivalent to the total cost of attendance. Tuition dollars support all our academic programs, including those designed to give students the greatest chances and opportunities to succeed. These include MSU's Neighborhood Student Success Collaborative, our first and second year students experience programming, academic support services in every college, and much more. While we want all students to have an outstanding experience in MSU, completing their degree in a timely manner delivers a lifetime of value. Students' ability to persist is often not tied to their ability to afford college, but rather competing stressors, physical and mental health, academic support, food and housing security, which are all areas that our student success programs are designed to address. Especially since the pandemic, we have seen great increases in demand for mental health services in the nearly 2 years I've been here. These modest increases will also help support these critical services. Something else that supports mental as well as physical health is recreation. Michigan State today is the only Big Ten and major state public university without a student recreational fee to maintain and upgrade recreational facilities. The adequacy of our rec facilities is something I've heard about from our students since I arrived at Michigan State University. A fee and the needed facility upgrades are something ASMSU is considered supporting, and they are very long overdue. So we propose to phase in an annual student recreational fee, starting at $100 next year and reaching $260 at the end of a three-year period. That fee would be exactly in line with the Big Ten average and would allow us to significantly improve our recreation and intramural facilities, hopefully with significant improvements visible by spring of 2022. I also want to address room and board rates. Michigan State on-campus residents enjoy not only a safe, convenient, and welcoming place to live, but also the presence of social and academic supports that contribute to their success. A year ago, with the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic, we did not seek an increase in room and board rates. But Michigan State University today is well below many of our peer universities in the area. We charge the second lowest rate in the Big Ten and fifth lowest among Michigan public universities. The rising cost of food, facility maintenance, safety upgrades, and other expenses has surpassed revenues to support the standards we adhere to. Today, we're asking the trustees to continue to consider an annual room and board increase next year for residence halls of $204 or 91 cents per day. University apartment rental rates would not change. They would remain the same. This 1.95% increase would generate $2.7 million in additional revenue to better support our residential dining facilities, and MSU's rate would still be the second lowest in the Big Ten. Michigan State University is a global research university whose vital mission starts with offering exceptional value to its students and to our stakeholders across Michigan. The proposals in front of the board would allow us to maintain that essential value of accessibility and excellence to students and the state. I want to close now on a celebratory note by marking Michigan State's inaugural observance of Juneteenth this week. As of yesterday, Juneteenth became a federal holiday, something we can all celebrate. Today's culminating activities include a live and in-person program of music and commemorative presentations at Munn Field. I urge everyone to learn more about these events by going to the webpages of the Office of Inclusion and Intercultural Initiatives. And with that, I'll conclude my remarks. We will now move to the gift and contract report from Interim Vice President for Research and Innovation, Doug Gage.
Good morning. Chairperson Byram, members of the Board of Trustees, I request approval of the awards found in the gift, grant, and contract report. The report period is March 20th, 2021 through May 25th, 2021. Total value for this period is $180,383,414.
Is there a motion to approve the gift and contract report?
A move.
A move.
Thank you. And I heard a support as well. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries. We will now move to our research presentation. Again, I will ask Interim President, Vice President for Research, Doug Gage, to present our speaker.
Thank you, President Stanley. It's my great honor to present our outstanding faculty before the board and allow them a chance to really describe some of the excellent work that's going on campus. Joining us today is Dr. Stacy Mismer. She is a professor in obstetrics, gynecology, and reproductive biology at the MSU Grand Rapids Research Center with an additional appointment in epidemiology and biostatistics. She also serves as an adjunct professor in epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and a lecturer in pediatrics at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Mismer was recruited to MSU in 2016 under the Global Impact Initiative to focus on women's reproductive health research, our women's reproductive health research goal. Together with her colleagues, they have developed one of the top research centers in the country studying women's reproductive health. And I think this is a real testament to how targeted investment can really have a dramatic impact, and Dr. Mismer will describe that. She received her master's and doctor of science degrees in epidemiology from Harvard University. In 2012, she co-founded the Boston Center for Endometriosis, which she is the scientific director, and World Endometriosis Research Foundation. She is really the author of more than 300 scientific publications. She is the immediate past chair of the American Society for Reproductive Medicine Endometriosis Special Interest Group, international advisor to the European Society for Human Reproduction and Embryology and Endometriosis and Endometrial Disorders, SIG. She's the inaugural field editor of Frontiers in Reproductive Health and the president-elect of the World Endometriosis Society. Please welcome Dr. Mismer.
Thank you for that lovely introduction, Dr. Gage. It's a privilege to be with all of you today. I'm going to talk very briefly with you about reproductive sciences here at MSU. So reproductive health encompasses the organs of the reproductive system, but also reproductive endocrinology, and really impacts the entire systems of the human body, not just gynecology and pregnancy, and has impacts all across the life course, from pregnancy, in utero development, puberty, adulthood, maturation, through the menopausal transition. And it's also the key area of science linking multi-generational health. While reproductive health is not interchangeable with women's health, it's certainly a critical element across the entire life course. And our faculty here in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Biology contribute to all aspects of the life course. We have an exceptional faculty dedicated through bench studies of genetics and cells all the way through individual health, and public health and community intervention. This excellence among my colleagues has had many deliverables, not the least of which is that we are ranked fifth in the country for NIH funding in OBGYN, bringing in nearly $10 million just last year alone. I've been very proud to contribute to this success with my research and primarily focusing on endometriosis. Now, endometriosis is a condition where the lining of the uterus that is normally responds to the cues of the menstrual cycle grows and thrives outside of the uterus. It still responds to these hormonal cues, so it builds up and sloughs off, resulting in scarring adhesion, about a 30% risk of infertility, and about two-thirds of women with endometriosis experience chronic pelvic pain that can often be debilitating. This condition affects 1 in 10 women, 200 million women worldwide, and has an annual cost in the U.S. of $70 billion, which is on par with many better known and better focused upon conditions like diabetes. Our team has led quite a bit of the discovery around endometriosis as a high-risk group of women for longer-term conditions like ovarian cancer, autoimmune diseases, and in particular, cardiovascular disease. There are several major obstacles, including that currently diagnosis definitively requires surgery. We don't really understand the causes, and that makes designing appropriate treatments and prevention difficult. And in fact, treatment is inadequate for many women with symptom recurrence in about 60%. There are so many questions to answer across all aspects of biology and also environmental and modifiable risk factor influences, including that we see a lot of heterogeneity in what women with endometriosis experience, what their condition looks like. And so again, I'm very proud that I lead with my team 14 current grant-funded grant awards across several funders. And we very much embrace national and international collaborations that have been very fruitful. I'm going to spend the rest of my time talking to you about one specific challenge in endometriosis that we're addressing in the state of Michigan. Many primary care physicians have inadequate knowledge about the disease. The symptoms aren't specific. As I already said, it's difficult to diagnose. Often symptoms are dismissed as normal aspects of menstruation and pelvic pain. And in fact, there's quite a lot of stigma around menstruation and menstrual health. 1 in 5 women report that they don't feel comfortable talking about menstruation with their healthcare provider. And 2/3 of teens report that they believe that we are taught to be ashamed about menstrual periods and reproductive health. This all culminates in part in why there is a 7-year time on average to diagnosis, during which in their journey, women experience about 2/3 have at least one misdiagnosis and half see 5 or more clinicians. So this has a large impact on the healthcare system and healthcare economics as well as individual health. Now, these data all come from those who have been successfully diagnosed. And we know that there is this pathway through to surgical diagnosis. However, there are several other paths of experience of women with endometriosis, whether they remain silent, whether they are not accurately accessing and having responses from the healthcare system, whether they have that incorrect diagnosis. We don't know how many women this encompasses, and we also don't know if their characteristics and their biology differ from what we currently define as endometriosis as we explore for better diagnostics and treatments. And so we've launched the work study, Women's Outcomes Research and Knowledge here at MSU, that's designed to enroll a cohort of 1,000 participants among adolescents and young adults who are experiencing pelvic pain to better capture their journey and diversity of biology and interaction with the health system. We're engaging with partners all across MSU. It's one of the very wonderful richness of our university across the clerkships, the extension program, and also engaging with our partners across the state for especially engaging into this cohort underrepresented populations. Now, of course, the COVID pandemic has had an impact. We launched enrollment in February 2020, just before we had to stop direct in-person access. And so to date, I'm so proud of my team that has currently enrolled about 1/3 of our goal, just under 200 or 300 participants. As you can see on the map of Michigan, we are getting diversity of geographic region with at least one participant in each of the highlighted areas. But we have quite a lot of work to do, and we're working with our partners in Flint and Detroit and across the state and in the UP to enhance representation for this work. Also, speaking of the pandemic, we're currently developing aims and collecting new data and seeking funding around the impact of COVID-19 specifically on gynecologic health. We have some preliminary data that suggests that those with endometriosis and chronic pelvic pain actually have a greater risk and potentially greater severity of COVID-19 disease. They may also have an impaired immune response, so less of immunity success from vaccination. And we also know that almost everyone has experienced increased stress through many different stressors, And we have evidence that that increased stress is having a direct impact on the frequency and severity of pelvic pain. So many, many questions to answer. It's a wonderful area to work in, very multidisciplinary. And it reminds me of a pillar of epidemiology, Gina Stein, and reminding us that we need courage and persistence and energy because the answers aren't obvious or easy, but that's what makes this work so fulfilling and fun, and also what really highlights the excellence of my colleagues here at MSU. So thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you so much. I'm going to jump in with just two quick questions if I can. So first of all, kind of a clinical one. Seems like one of the challenges, obviously, is actual visualization and diagnosis of the condition. And my question is, are there any isotopes that have been developed or specific monoclonal antibodies that would allow you to get beyond ultrasound or CT or MRI or any of those things in making diagnoses?
So there have not. There are two subtypes of endometriosis that are successfully diagnosed. Those that involve the ovaries, those that involve deep endometriosis that can be seen on MRI and ultrasound. But that truly is the next batch. And I know Anna Moore and teams here at MSU are working on that quite actively, because that certainly should be the next leap forward.
It makes sense in terms of a radionucleotide approach. It just makes total sense. And the second thing is just, I'm really excited to see and how you talked about the partnerships we have at MSU and, of course, the power of extension reaching out. Have you been in contact with the Henry Ford folks yet, or is that on the agenda to talk
we
to them?
We have. We're engaging with both those who are active practitioners treating patients with endometriosis. And again, we're also trying to make sure that we're engaging in that primary care setting to try to capture patients very early in their journey to both speed that along and get them to successful treatment more rapidly.
Thank you. Any questions from anyone else? Board? I'll just say that, we sometimes throw the term around world expert in something. After hearing your credentials, I'm willing to say we have one of the world's experts essentially in the area around endometriosis at Michigan State University. So thank you so much again for acquainting us with your work. Very, very impressive. And we're so glad you're here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So we'll now move on to personnel actions and information report from Provost Woodruff.
Dr. Byram and trustees, I present for approval the items on the June 2021 list of personnel actions. I present for approval the appointment of Cameron G. Thies, PhD, as Dean of James Madison College and MSU Foundation Professor in James Madison College with tenure effective July 1st, 2021. Dr. Thies currently serves as a professor of international relations in the School of Politics and Global Studies at Arizona State University, where he also served as director of ASU's School of Politics and Global Studies from 2013 to 2020. A globally recognized and accomplished scholar in international relations, trade, and foreign policy, and a seasoned administrator, including past roles as rector of a residential college program and honors program, Dr. Thies steps into our decanal role with the skills and experience needed to uphold and advance the reputation for academic excellence embodied by the James Madison College community of scholars. I'm delighted to welcome Dr. Thies to MSU and look forward to supporting his vision for James Madison College. In addition, I present for approval the following tenured faculty appointments. LaConte Dill, Doctor of Public Health, Associate Professor, Department of African American and African Studies, effective September 16, 2021. Kimberly A. Dodd, DVM, PhD, Associate Professor, Department of Pathobiology and Diagnostic Investigation, effective September 1, 2021. Tremiko Melanson, Professor, Department of African American and African Studies, effective September 13, 2021. Elaine B. Richardson, PhD, Professor, Department of African American and African Studies, effective August 16, 2021. Morgan Shipley, PhD, Associate Professor, Folio, Endowed Chair of Spirituality, Department of Religious Studies with tenure, effective August 16, 2021. Jennifer Wolak, PhD, Professor, Department of Political Science, effective August 16, 2021. The action also includes the recommendation that the title of Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer held by Lisa A. Frace, MBA, be changed to Senior Vice President, Chief Financial Officer, and Treasurer, and that all applicable policy documents be revised to reflect the change in title effective July 2nd, 2021. Additionally, I present the recommendation that the title of Interim Vice President for Research and Innovation held by Douglas A. Gage, PhD, be changed to Vice President for Research and Innovation effective June 18, 2021 through June 17, 2024. Other personal actions include the following changes in title. I'm pleased to recommend Ann E. Austin, PhD, Associate Dean, College of Education, University Distinguished Professor, Department of Educational Administration, for a change in title to Interim Dean of the College of Education, effective July 1st, 2021. A University Distinguished Professor of Higher Adult and Lifelong Education, Dr. Austin currently serves as the Associate Dean for Research in the College of Education, as well as Assistant Provost for Faculty and Academic Staff Development and Career Paths. From August 2019 through June 2020, she served as the Interim Associate Provost for Faculty and Academic Staff Development. I am grateful for Dr. Austin's willingness to step into this leadership position during a time of active search for the next leader of the College of Education. I am pleased to recommend Kelly F. Millenbaugh, PhD, Senior Associate Dean, College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, Professor, Department of Fisheries and Wildlife, for a change in title to Interim Dean, College of Agriculture and Natural Resources, effective July 1, 2021. Dr. Millenbaugh's service as Interim Dean will enable continuity for the college's success during this time of transition. She is highly regarded and respected by the faculty and institution and has my confidence, and I look forward to working with her during the search. I am pleased to recommend Dylan A. T. Miner, PhD, Professor, Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, Director, American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program, for a change in title to Interim Dean of the Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, effective July 1st, 2021. Dr. Miner, in his capacity as Director of the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Program, has cultivated administrative skills that will serve him well as he moves into the Interim Dean role. He's an accomplished scholar and arts activist and is committed to curriculum development, student success, and diversity, equity, and inclusion. Dr. Miner's academic achievements, administrative experience, and institutional engagement are all reasons I believe he will be a transformative leader, and I look forward to working with him during this next period of growth for the college. Additionally, I am pleased to present to you 11 outstanding scholars recently approved for the title University Distinguished Professor. This title is conferred on selected members of the Michigan State University faculty to recognize distinguished achievement in teaching, research, and public service. On June 9, 1989, the MSU Board of Trustees approved the establishment of the University Distinguished Professor designation. 21 faculty members were approved with the designation on July 20, 1990. Since then, 132 faculty members have been approved with the designation. From the 15th nomination cycle, a standing advisory committee has reviewed nominations and recommended candidates to the provost. Based on these recommendations, President Stanley and I now recommend approval of the University Distinguished Professor designation for the 11 faculty members included in your information materials to be effective June 18, 2021. Finally, I am pleased to announce that Nobel laureate Robert H. Grubbs, PhD, has been appointed as a visiting Hanna Distinguished Professor through March of 2026. Dr. Grubbs is serving as the special advisor to the provost on honorifics. In this role, he will be providing guidance and leadership to advance University Laude and individual honorifics at Michigan State University. Also included in your materials are information reports for academic personnel actions. Included in your information reports are the promotion and tenure awards that will be effective July 1st, 2021.
Provost Woodruff, thank you. Can I have a motion to approve the personnel actions?
So moved.
Thank you. Could I have a second? Thank you. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The personnel actions are approved, and let me take the advantage of being the first to congratulate Dr. Gage on becoming the Vice President for Research at Michigan State University for his term. We will now move to committee reports and other items requiring board approval. Trustee Melanie Foster will now present the committee on budget and finance report.
Thank you, President Stanley. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby adopts the attached 2021-22 budget development guidelines, including tuition and fee rates for the 2021-22 academic year and core professional undergraduate tuition and fee rates for the 2022-23 and 2023-24 academic year, as reflected in attachment B. And be it further resolved that the board hereby directs the administration to develop and implement the 2021-22 General Fund, MSU Ag Bioresearch, Michigan State University Extension, and intercollegiate athletics budgets in accordance with the fiscal year 22 budget guidelines.
We have a resolution. Could I ask for support for the resolution?
Support.
Thank you.
Trustee Byram would now like to make comments.
Thank you, Trustee Foster. Setting tuition is among the most difficult decisions a board undertakes. And I want to thank every trustee for their time and dedication as we held numerous work sessions on the budget. Everyone participated fully and your contributions are appreciated. President Stanley, your executive team, Provost Woodruff, and the deans, thank you for your contributions to the process and for helping us build trust. The headline here is that MSU's tuition for 2021-22 will have a 0% increase for most families with an annual income of less than $100,000. For those families, this is the fourth year with no tuition increase. In fact, MSU has not raised tuition since 2018. During that same time, MSU-sponsored financial aid has increased by 18%, despite no tuition increases. This has been an additional $27 million to support students. This modest increase of 2% will help MSU continue services to support student achievement, specifically in addressing the graduation gap for all students. I'm proud to report graduation rates have improved every year for the past 6 years at MSU, from 77% in 2015 to 81% in 2020. This is good news, but we also know there's more work to be done. This year's budget includes another $3.8 million in financial aid. So in closing, this budget recognizes the need to continue to enhancing the student experience and supporting an excellent faculty and learning environment while remaining affordable for our students. Thank you, Trustee Foster, for allowing me brief comments.
Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, we will move to a roll call vote. Secretary Barr.
Yes, we will now take the vote. When I call your name, please indicate your support by saying yes or no. Trustee Byram?
Yes.
Trustee Foster?
Yes.
Trustee Kelly?
Yes.
Trustee Kanaki Jefferson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Keefe?
No.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tebay?
No.
Trustee Vassar?
No.
The result is 5 yeses, 3 no.
Thank you. The motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby adopts the basic residence hall double room and board rate of $10,676 for first year transfer and returning students who select the Silver Unlimited Meal Plan for the 2021-22 academic year. And be it further resolved that the board hereby adopts no rate increase for 1855 Place, University Village, and Spartan Village Apartments for the 2021 and 22 academic year.
So we have a motion. Could I have a support?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion?
Would Vinnie Gore like to make any comments?
Thank you, Trustee Foster. This is a modest increase to address our inflationary costs. And believing, next slide, please. And also too, that we will be holding for all first year students, their rate increase for 2 years. So for this, their incoming year, this year, and for next year. We believe that this additionally will support our student success initiatives across the campus.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, Secretary Barr, would you conduct the vote?
Yes. When I call your name, once again, please indicate your support by saying yes or no. Trustee Byram?
Yes.
Trustee Foster?
Yes.
Trustee Kelly?
Yes.
Trustee Kanaki Jefferson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Keefe?
Yes.
Trustee Scott?
Yes.
Trustee Tebay?
Yes.
Trustee Vassar?
Yes.
8 yeses.
Motion carries.
As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Budget and Finance, I move that the board hereby authorizes the administration to accept by charitable gift approximately 46 acres of property located in Liberty Township, Jackson County, Michigan, from the Murphy Family Revocable Trust.
We have a motion. Can I have a second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
This concludes my report.
Thank you, Trustee Foster. We will now move on to the report from the Committee on Academic Affairs from Trustee Byron.
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Academic Affairs, I move that the board hereby approves the revisions to the faculty grievance policy included in Attachment A.
We have a resolution on the floor. Can I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion carries.
This concludes my report.
We will now hear from the Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance from Trustee Kelly.
Thank you. As chairperson of the Trustee Committee on Audit, Risk, and Compliance, I move that the board hereby approve the following: a research agreement with Nordish LLC, a license agreement with IASO Therapeutics, Inc., a service agreement with IASO Therapeutics, Inc., a sponsored research agreement with AirQ Corporation, a license agreement with AirQ Corporation, a service agreement with Jolt Energy Storage Technologies, LLC, a service and a research agreement with Jolt Energy Storage Technologies, LLC, an equipment rental agreement with Black Pine Engineering, a service agreement with Corporation for Digital Scholarship, a service agreement with National Pesticide Safety Education Center. All of the agreements are consistent with earlier public notice given at prior board meetings. The related term sheets are presented to the board for inclusion in the minutes.
Could I have support for the recommendation?
Support.
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 This concludes my report.
Thank you. We had no opposed and no abstentions to this record. So yes, thank you. Okay, next we'll hear from the Committee on Student Life and Culture, my trustee Scott.
Thank you, President Stanley. The Committee on Student Life and Culture received a DEI update from Vice President and Chief Diversity Officer Jabbar Bennett. That concludes my report.
Thank you. We will now move to Chairperson's report and trustee comments, and beginning with the Chair, Trustee Byron.
Thank you. I am trying to bring up my remarks. Thank you. On behalf of the Board of Trustees, I would like to honor the life of Eli Brode, who passed away on April 30th. Mr. Brode and his wife Edith have been generous supporters to MSU, and their gifts have made an impact in many ways across the university. The Brode College of Business, the Brode Art Museum, contributions to the College of Education, to just name a few. Several trustees, including myself, had the opportunity to meet Mr. Brode at the dedication of the Minskoff Pavilion. I am personally very grateful for that opportunity to meet him that day and to say thank you in person. I want to wish Mark Haas a long and happy retirement. Mark will begin his retirement here July 1st. Trustee Foster has more formal remarks that she will share during public comments. Additionally, I want to wish the following deans much success in their future plans. Dean Robert Floden, College of Education, who is retiring. Dean Ron Hendrick, College of Agriculture, who is leaving to become the provost at Texas Tech. And Dean Stephen Esquith, Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, who is retiring and returning to the faculty. A big MSU welcome to Cameron Thies, who is the incoming James Madison College Dean. I very much look forward to meeting you. And welcome to Nobel Laureate Robert H. Grubbs, who has been appointed as a visiting Hannah Distinguished Professor, the most prestigious faculty appointment in the university. He's going to be serving as a special advisor to our provost and in the honorifics activities that she is pursuing. And speaking of honorifics and our president, I wanted to highlight this book because we have as our provost one of 12 geniuses who are currently rocking science, technology, and the world. She's featured in this, what, the Wonder Women of Science. So congratulations, Provost Ewing, or Provost Woodruff. Congratulations to Dr. Felisa Wu, a HANA scholar who was appointed to the World Health Organization's Foodborne Disease and Epidemiology Reference Group. I will end by recognizing Saturday, June 19th, Juneteenth Day, the oldest nationally celebrated and now federal holiday, commemoration of the ending of slavery in the United States. I applaud the leadership of the Office of Inclusion and Intercultural Initiatives, Black Students Alliance, Black Faculty, Staff, and Administrators Association, Department of African American and African Studies, and MSU Black Alumni for planning and executing our first ever campus and community celebration. This concludes my comments.
Trustee Kelly, any remarks?
Yes, thank you. I want to echo what Chair Byram said with regard to a lot of the departures from the university. But first of all, I do want to acknowledge Mark Haas, who I worked with closely. I consider Mr. Haas to be a true professional, did his job, and I do appreciate that. Lastly, having graduated three children from Brode Business College and having my fourth as a senior in the college, I'd be remiss in not acknowledging Eli Brode's contribution to the university and his family's contributions. So I want to thank him and his family and my condolences. So that ends my comments.
Trustee Foster.
Thank you. First, I'd like to begin by reading a resolution honoring Mark Haas. The Michigan State University Board of Trustees today extends to Mark Haas its deep appreciation for his service to this university, its students, faculty, staff, and its stakeholders across Michigan. MSU Vice President and Treasurer Haas joined the university in 2010, having already served the state of Michigan with distinction in a variety of executive capacities for 32 years. Deferring retirement, he continued his service to MSU in the crucial year of transition to a new president and in the especially financially challenging year imposed by COVID-19 pandemic in 2021. He now departs the university to enjoy a well-deserved retirement after a most successful decade as MSU's principal financial officer. Vice President and Treasurer Haas' accomplishments include leading university responses to external audits that included 10 years in a row of clean audits of the university's annual financial statements, ensuring the university maintained strong AA credit ratings due in part to his relationships with the investment banking community and credit rating agencies, and completing bond refinancing and utilizing interest rate swaps that saved the university $65 million. In addition, he successfully negotiated higher indirect cost recovery rates for federal research grants, resulting in a $30 million positive impact to MSU's research endeavors, initiated systematic reviews of procurement and travel functions, saving the university $120 million, and expanding the university's cash and debt management strategy to add a net $438 million to its investment income. Vice President and Treasurer Haas has maintained a strong commitment to staff training, education, planning, and leadership development through initiatives such as the Financial Administrator Development Program, an expanded Research Administrator Certification Program, and project management and process mapping that have been provided to thousands of MSU staff. For his experienced counsel and exemplary service, the Michigan State University Board of Trustees offers its sincere gratitude to Mark Haas and wishes him a fulfilling retirement. Thank you, Mark. And everyone signed that resolution, Mark. I'd also like to thank Jeff Grable, our Associate Provost for Teaching, Learning, and Technology, and Director of the Hub for Innovation in Learning and Technology. Jeff, for several years, was the lead MSU administrator in cultivating our relationship with Apple Developer Academy. He also played a key leadership role in Science Gallery in Detroit. And personally, Jeff, I've appreciated your business acumen and entrepreneurial spirit in the provost office. I'd also like to thank my colleagues for approving the tuition increase. I believe a tuition increase is necessary so that our fine team of educators and administrators can lead the academic enterprise that changes the lives of individuals, communities, and the world. It's of utmost importance that we have the resources to retain our membership in the AAU and continue to be ranked as one of the top 100 research universities in the world. So thank you to our fine faculty and staff for your continued commitment and dedication and excellence at Michigan State University. That concludes my remarks.
Trustee Kanaki Jefferson.
Thank you. Yes, I will begin by first thanking those who showed up again in the public comments to share about their extraordinary experiences as members of MSU's swim and dive team. I have appreciated learning the personal and professional stories of each of you who have been writing to us. I was part of one of the public forums to hear from more of you, and again, those of you who spoke this morning to all of us. I have learned so much about the importance of that program in your lives, and I thank you for taking the time to share your stories with us, and I thank you for your passion. I also want to say a couple of words about the tuition increase. There again, we have heard many concerns about that, advocating for a higher increase, advocating for a lower increase. And I believe at the end of the day, where we are is where we need to be after 4 years of holding tuition solid and not increasing it. and being able to come up with a plan where there will be zero impact for families earning $100,000 or more, and yet also making sure that we have the necessary financial resources to support our students, most importantly, including with the increased support, being able to focus on student success, both through mental and physical health, through food and housing security, and also critical academic support, and also supporting our faculty and our staff who have continued to deliver excellent education even through a global pandemic. And so these are part of the reasons why I supported that decision. And then I also just wanted to say thank you to Dr. Stacey Mitzmer for her important work in women's health. And I'm really grateful that you were able to share just a glimpse of that with us today. And so thank you for the work that you are doing. And that concludes my remarks.
Thank you. Trustee O'Keefe, any remarks?
Thank you. First, I'd like to congratulate Dr. Mitzmer for your efforts to elevate women's health as a result of your work. With a wife that fought cancer last year after a misdiagnosis, and a father to a daughter and a grandfather to five granddaughters, I cheer your efforts. I also echo Trustee Kanaki Jefferson's comments relative to the swim and dive program. This has certainly been an eye-opener for me as a trustee. And I want to recognize Dr. Marilyn Whitney. The story on the drive to be a champion in spite of the lack of Title IX initiatives when she competed. My sister at MSU was a softball player during the same time and incurred the same inequities. And I'm proud now of the opportunities that women have in competing in sports. I also want to recognize the great works of Eli Broad. He's a great champion of business and a selfless supporter of MSU. As a college student at MSU, I had the pleasure of working summers delivering carpet to his home building operation, Kaufman and Broad. And I'm proud to at least say that I knew of him and the great works that he's done at MSU. I would also like to thank Dan Gelbert and his Rocket Mortgage of Families in supporting his alma mater in unprecedented ways, including the latest Apple venture. May Dan Gelbert and Matt Ishbia continue to be great examples of Spartans' will. And again, Doug, I'd like to congratulate you. I look forward to your continued leadership at the university. I hadn't wanted to comment on the budget, but I will, since my other trustees have made comments on it. And I will say this. The board worked hard on the budget. There are many meetings, analysis, and very robust discussion. I ran to protect the interests of students and their families with a voice for those not in the room. It would have been easy to vote with the rest of the board, but I chose differently to continue to elevate the discussion on student costs and spiraling student debt. While I disagree with our conclusions that we reached, I can assure you that the board worked hard, diligent, to try and balance competing interests. These conclude my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Scott, any remarks?
Yes, thank you. I would first like to extend my condolences to the family of Eli Broad. I had the distinguished honor of meeting him before his passing, and that will always be a very memorable moment for me, being a graduate of the Eli Broad College of Business. I'd also like to extend a congratulatory retirement and a thank you to Mark Haas, who I've really appreciated the knowledge and the depth of which he has given to MSU to make sure that financially we are staying on good footing. And I've learned a lot from him over the course of the time that he has been, or at least I have been as a trustee, part of the Audit Risk and Compliance Committee. So thank you, Mark, and I'm wishing you a very restful, peaceful, and happy retirement. I would also like to just thank Dr. Mitzmer for doing the work that she's doing. That report to me and the emphasis on such a stigmatized area in women's health is so very important. And I really appreciated her presentation today and all that she's doing in that particular area. I'd also like to thank and acknowledge again those that have spoken so passionately on the Swim and Dive program. I appreciate hearing about your experiences and the impact that the program has had on your lives and you sharing your stories with us. And we continue to want to hear from you and to appreciate what this impact of our decision has had on you and others that are so closely attuned to that program. But we thank you for showing us how important it was during the time that we had it. And I want you to know that we do care about how you all feel about it. Although I'm sure you are disappointed, we want you to know that we do hear you. So I wanted to make that clear as well. I also wanted to just talk a little bit about what I have looked up since the past few meetings where there have been some personal attacks of myself. And I was trying to get an understanding about perhaps what was going on and came across this information about this illusory truth effect, which I had never really known about, but it's basically based on an idea that if you repeat something often enough, people will slowly start to believe it's true. And quite frankly, if repetition was the only thing that influenced what we believed in, we would be in big trouble, but thank God that it isn't. And luckily, we can all bring to bear more extensive powers of reasoning. Part of guarding against the illusion is just the obligation that it puts on each of us to stop repeating falsehoods, quite frankly. And because we live in a world where facts do matter and they should matter, I think it's important for all of us to remember that. And I would like to say to Lena Emery and Erica Thibodeau, who are neither survivors nor students, as much as we can find out, that you clearly have an agenda and are working on behalf of someone whom yet I have not quite figured out who that would be, but you're pushing a false narrative that you claim, both of you, to be so impassioned about, yet you've neglected to reach out to me directly or to even really look into the facts, which would prove you wrong. And I just feel very strongly that if you repeat things without bothering to check if they are true, that you are helping to make the world where lies and truth are easier to confuse people, you know, a place that is not something that we as Spartans would attribute to being part of our core values. So I would ask that you please think about what you're repeating. Quite frankly, your lies are falling on deaf ears as of now. And because the truth of this matter is so well known, it almost seems purposeful that you're not looking into it further yourselves. I'm gonna move on to something a little bit more exciting and pleasant to talk about. And that is Juneteenth, which is something as an African-American woman that is extremely important to me. It's also known as the Day of Freedom, and it commemorates the official end of legal slavery in the U.S. A lot of people surprisingly did not know what it meant, which is why I just told you that. But it's important across the board that everyone has a chance to learn about the historical watershed moment, because while they may be situated in the African-American lived experience in history, I believe that it's very much a part of American history and the American fabric, and it should be told. In other words, Juneteenth is, it's short for June 19, but it, in my opinion, is not just tied to Black history, but or Black communities really, but it's inextricably, in my opinion, tied to the US history. And it, in honoring the end of slavery, I believe it's a really historical moment where the self-evident truths that we hear about in the Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal and that we all have inalienable rights, it really began at that moment to apply to every American. And so it marks an end of an era of blatant hypocrisy present in the United States from the very beginning, and really a start in a path towards racial healing and redemption, something that obviously is still being pursued today and that we still have to work on, but you know, at least we're moving in that trajectory. And while it's a part of every American history, the holiday represents the strength and the resilience of Black Americans. And I'm just excited that MSU is going to be celebrating that. And for those of you that can attend the festivities tomorrow, I would encourage you to do so. You're going to hear from some fantastic speakers, including one of our own trustees who will be a panelist. So, and that's Dr. Rima Vassar. So I'm hoping to see many of you who are watching at the celebrations tomorrow. And that concludes my long-winded comments.
Thank you. Trustee Tebe, any remarks?
Yes, thank you. I first want to start by thanking those that spoke on behalf of the Swim and Dive team for again joining us at this board meeting and for continuing the conversation. I know there was a presentation given to AD Beekman about options in from our alumni, our swimmers, and allies of the team to talk about options to potentially bringing the team back. But I appreciate those that continue to be thoughtful in their storytelling of how impactful our swim and dive team has been to people over the years. It's truly remarkable to see just what great leaders and professionals have come out of that program. And it certainly brings a sense of pride to me. For MSU, I also just want to acknowledge the fact that the Mental Health Services Fund or former Healing Fund for the survivors is not managed by any trustee, and I want to just make that a point of clarification. It is managed by a third party called New Directions, and again, if you're having issues with any of your claims, please call the number. It is 877-250-6408. But I want to make it very clear that the trustees are not involved in this. We do not manage it. We are separate from it as a, for your own anonymity when it comes to your claims. Just want to make that point of clarification. Also would like to thank Dr. Mismer for her research that she's doing. I have a number of friends actually that have endometriosis, and it is such an important thing to learn more about. And I'm glad to hear that there are people here at MSU working so hard to take on that health issue. I also would like to thank Mark Haas for his work for MSU. As Trustee Foster read in his resolution, he clearly had lots of free time on his hands while he was here and really didn't work very hard. But as we appreciate you very much for all of the work that you've done and everything that you did during a very difficult time here at MSU. And we are forever grateful for the work that you've done and will continue your legacy on of here at MSU. I also would like to congratulate Dr. Gage, whom I have had the distinct pleasure of getting to know over the last couple of years, on your appointment for VP of Research. And also would like to thank Dean Floden, Dean Hendrick, and Dean Esquith for all of their work for MSU, and to welcome the new Dean of James Madison College, Dean Thies. Looking forward to working with you as an alumni of James Madison. I also would like to acknowledge Juneteenth celebration this weekend. And I also would like to thank Trustee Scott and Dr. Stephanie Anthony, who brought this attention to the board since I have been here, and appreciate you two really putting pressure to make sure that this happens. And for Dr. Rima for speaking at the celebration. We are grateful for all of you for your work on this. I think it's important to, I'm very excited that this has become a federal holiday and it's getting the recognition that it deserves. I don't think you can really acknowledge the 4th of July without acknowledging Juneteenth, more importantly, as that is an important moment in our history. And so I want to thank all of the hard work from Jabbar Bennett and his team and those that really fought for this to be part of MSU. And I believe that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Vassar, any remarks?
Sure. I have a few remarks. Okay, let's see here. First, Trustee Scott, I
I'm really sorry that this continues to be brought up for you every single time we have a meeting, and I can hear the pain in your voice, and I just apologize for how you're feeling in this space, right? So I just want to acknowledge that I hear you and I see you, and I'm in a compassionate, empathetic moment with you in this moment. And then I just want to just channel my inner Norman Beauchamp, Dr. Beauchamp's Namaste Zen, right? And just be in gratitude, right? So I'm extremely grateful today for the families and community members who have supported MSU through this pandemic. Like, you're the salt of the earth. And for the administration who continue to impress me with their intolerance of intolerance and your commitment to diversity and inclusion, I just appreciate your work toward emancipation for all of our students. And then for the faculty, particularly Dr. Mismer, who presented her important research here today, and to staff, thank you for your service and sacrifice during a whole global pandemic. I mean, unparalleled. And thank you, distinguished alumni who engage us on issues of importance to you and the MSU community. Swim and dive, you continue to be impressive advocates. MSUBA's advocacy for low income and middle-class families actually facilitated today's more thoughtful tuition increase. And so I just appreciate your engagement and encourage you to continue to push into MSU in ways that are meaningful to you and to the community. For the board, I thank you, first voters who put me here to work on with such an eclectic group of folks. I am learning so much from their varied experiences and diverse talents, and I actually like them. So that's a bonus, right? Thank you, board, for your collective dedication and, I mean, extremely hard work. So I just wanna just appreciate the board and my colleagues. Finally, to the students, you had a record year of challenges, obstacles, toils, and snares. And I thank you for your persistence and powerful examples of perseverance. You are the real MVPs of this academic year, and I thank you for inspiring me and so many others. My hope as we close out this academic year is for us to rejuvenate this summer. Spartans will rest, get some rest.
Thank you. That concludes trustee comments.
Well, thank you very much. And what great words to end on, Trustee Vassar. I agree totally. This has been a challenging year, and I hope everyone out there rejuvenates over the summer, and I'll take advantage of your great entrance to emphasize that. Thank you. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Thank you. Second?
Support.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great summer, everyone.
Have a wonderful summer.